The Free Jack Beat.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Live Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are blessed to be here today again with you all around the world in Jesus' name. Wherever you're listening to me at, we thank God and we praise God for you being in our midst and inviting us into your homes, into your cars, into wherever you're listening, whatever listening device you have to be able to listen to the show on today. We say over here at the Spirit Alive Network, on behalf of the Spirit Alive Network, amen, we say God bless you in Jesus' name. On today, we have a phenomenal topic today, but I want to say before I get started, I want to say again, welcome, because this is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. We praise God. Amen. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because of my voice, not because of anything that Minister Tuggle is doing, but because if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are yet in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God the praise. Amen. On today, we are talking about a very, very powerful topic. This is part three of our topic, Protect Your Members. Now, I want to get all the formalities out of the way because I want you buckle up. I want you to sit back, buckle up, and get ready because I said on last week and the week prior before that the Lord spoke to me and told me that he was going to pull back the curtain. With this topic, he was going to pull back the curtain on and show us through the Word of God, through his Word, he was going to push back the curtain and reveal to us the strategies of the devil in this topic. We're going to be able to see everything that the devil tries to do. Whether you are saved or unsaved, whether you are backslider, whatever, the devil will be exposed. And he has been exposed. In part one, we started this topic out talking about protecting your members, protecting ourselves in the spirit. We deal with different things in the natural. Addictions, problems, different spirits. We deal with this stuff on a day-to-day basis. And what most people think that is a natural thing that they are dealing with, and I'll use this as an example, and I've used it as an example before. A person that drinks heavily. They consider that as alcoholism. Doctors or medical personnel receive that as that person having being an alcoholic or being or having alcoholism. That in the natural is what it is. But in the spirit, that is a demonic spirit that a person is up under. And this is why we said that God is going to push back the curtain. Now, I want to get all the formalities out of the way before we start. I want to give honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this network. Amen. Apostle Cook, God bless you. I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, and all of the Spirit Alive family and all of my family near and far, in Jesus' name. Now, I know that I was kind of brief, but I want to dive into this now. When we look at spirits or whatever you want to say, unclean spirits or demonic spirits, when we look at these things, we have to look at it through the Spirit of God. We have to look at it through the eyes of God. We went to the scripture. We went to the scriptures. And when we started talking about this topic, protect your members, we started in Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read these two passages of scripture to you so you can get a brief outline of part one and part two, because we're getting ready to go into part three, the final, the conclusion of this series. But in Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 21, Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 21, and I want you to get I want you to see this through the eyes of God. I want you to while we're going through this lesson, going through this topic today, this is not a shot at anybody. This is not a shot at anybody. This is the full-fledged gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil does not want us to know his tricks. He would rather for you as an individual, whether you be saved or unsaved, and this is coming, I'm stepping away from the lesson real quick. This is from the Lord. He would have you, the devil would have you to be ignorant of his devices. I'm going to say it again, because it's in my spirit to say this. The devil would rather have a person ignorant of the devil's devices so that he can take you in captivity and keep you in captivity so that you will not reach the pinnacle of where God wants to take you to. But the Lord has come today and is pulling back the curtain on Satan's devices, so you will not be ignorant in the spirit or in the natural. Because a lot of people, they think, okay, well, this is this way. This is an addiction, or this is this. No, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. What we are dealing with in society today, we are dealing with spirits. We are dealing with unclean spirits. We are dealing with demonic spirits. We deal with these things on a day-to-day basis. They will not stop until one of two things. Either we leave the earth by the grave or by the rapture, by the coming of the Lord. They will not stop fighting. They will not stop trying to tempt. Okay? Hear me today. Whether you be saint of God or not, this is what happens in the spirit. We are in a battle every single day. And you and I cannot fight in this spiritual battle without Jesus Christ. You cannot fight that addiction. What you think is helping you, and I'm about to bust Satan out right now. What you think in the natural will help you really is not helping you. It is actually holding you back from what God has got for you. You might say, well, what things are holding me back? The things that are in the world. You might, and I have literally seen somebody try to say that God created this and since God created it, it's for me. Let me tell you something. God created everything in this world. But God also cursed stuff too because of sin. Every since sin came into the world, God cursed everything that was tainted with sin. You might say, well, what do you mean God cursed everything that was tainted with sin? God cursed Adam and Eve out of the garden. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out of where God wanted them to be. Sin separates us from what God wants us to have. Yes, God wants you to live a life of bliss, but that life of bliss only starts in the spirit. The Bible says, you prosper as your soul prosper. True prosperity is found in the Spirit of God. It is not found in things. It is not found in money. It is not found in cars. It is not found in clothes. None of that stuff, riches untold. None of that stuff is true prosperity. Now, that comes with prosperity. But let me tell you, let me break this down to you, the way the Lord has me break it down. That is the icing on the cake of prosperity. But your true prosperity, the cake of it, the cake, when you have a cake, you know, the main course of that cake is the breading, not the icing. The icing is the look of it. It makes you the icing and the way it's the way the cake is designed, the icing of that cake makes your eyes want that cake. If you just have a sheet of cake on a table, it may not look too appetizing, but once you get that icing and all of that stuff, all of the decorations on that cake, the fondant and everything on there, once you get everything around that cake, the icing and stuff, it looks good to you. That is the same thing with prosperity. I don't know why I'm going here. A whole lot of preachers think that, hey, when God speaks about prosperity, he's just talking about cars, money, and clothes. No. Prosperity lies in you having God in your life. Prosperity does not start with clothes, money, and cars. Prosperity starts with God on the inside of you. It all goes, all of this, protecting your members, everything that is about you, all correlates with salvation. If you do not have salvation, if you don't have the truth, truth is salvation. Truth is God. He said it in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So God is truth. Truth is salvation. Truth is the Holy Ghost. How do we know? John chapter 14, verse 26. Matter of fact, I'm leading off my notes here because I ain't even read the scripture yet. But good, the Lord is leading me the way He wants to lead me. I'm going to read you John chapter 14, verse 26, before I get into Romans chapter 7, verse 21. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, I'm about to show you in the Word of God that the Holy Ghost is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is God. He said in His Word that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why He came. That's why He died. He said, I can't. In John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That thief is the devil. But I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. These two scriptures that I just named off, these two scriptures that I just quoted go hand in hand, and it coincides with John chapter 14, verse 26. Now, John chapter 14, verse 26 talks about the Holy Ghost. We know that God is truth. God is salvation. God is, the Holy Ghost is salvation. It is the salvation that he has deemed right unto man, the Holy Ghost. I'm about to show you in John chapter 14, verse 26, what I'm talking about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus talking, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. This is the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to show you something. With the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost to be able to fight against the spirits that come up and try to attack you. The demonic spirits, the unclean spirits, say you're going through an issue in your body. That is a demonic spirit. That's a demonic spirit. That's an unclean spirit. Say you have a spirit, say a person has a spirit of being deaf, okay? And I'm talking about being naturally deaf. That is an unclean spirit. And that spirit can only be removed by a person that by God. The power of the Holy Ghost can only remove that spirit. Amen? Say you have an addiction. Only the Holy Ghost can remove that spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost comes to remove things out of our life and to keep us. He is the keeper. If you want to be kept, He will keep you. He said that He'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. The Holy Ghost will keep you. This all goes back to Acts 2 and 38. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you will be able to fight against the spirits that have the demonic spirits, the unclean spirits that try to come up against you in your life. You cannot do it without the Holy Ghost. What you think is helping you, and I don't know who I'm talking to today, the drugs, the alcohol, the partying, the whatever it might be, those things are not helping a person. You're dibbling and dabbling in sin. Those things don't help you. It only, what it does, though, it steals what God is trying to give you. It kills you slowly, and it eventually destroys you. It eventually destroys what God, the foundation that God is trying to put in you. Amen. God himself, started the foundation way back when he created Adam. The foundation was prosperity, blessings, and all that. We were in bliss before sin came into the world. That's why I said that. God's foundation, God's statutes for us were yea and amen for us. But we chose, as mankind, and I'm talking about Adam chose to do what he wanted to do. Adam chose to yield to his flesh. This is what's going on today. This is why we see so much rampage of sin going on, because people are yielding to sin. Most times they yield to sin because they do not have the power to come out of the captivity of sin. They do not have the power to say no to sin. This is where salvation comes in at, the power of the Holy Ghost, as recorded in Acts 2 and 38. The power of the Holy Ghost helps us, which is recorded in Acts 1 and 8. Amen? This is why we need the Holy Ghost to be able to fight this stuff off. You won't be able to fight it in the natural. I've said this before. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with natural stuff. You can't do it. You won't be able to do it. A person without the Holy Ghost, if you're walking day to day to day to day without the Holy Ghost, you are walking on dangerous territory. A person without the Holy Ghost is walking in dangerous territory for two reasons. Number one, you have no shield away from sin. You have no shield away from sin. Sin can attack you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, any demonic force can enter into a person. I'm telling you now, you probably have seen shows or movies or whatever, and I have literally seen a person demon possessed, and it ain't fun. It don't look appealing. But a person that has the Holy Ghost, demons cannot enter in. And when I say demons entering in to a person, they are looking for a house. This is why it is good for us to protect our members. When I mean protect our members, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about a pastor protecting its flock. I'm talking about you staying in the will of God, protecting your eye gate, protecting your ear gate, protecting your conversations that you have with people, protecting your circle. What do you mean protecting your circle? Protecting your circle, which means protecting yourself from people that don't mean you no good. Keep them out of your life. Keep them away from you. Now, that doesn't mean shun people, because you're going to come into contact with people that some people that are morally good. That doesn't mean that we're better than anybody. But I don't have to hang around ungodly things. That's not me. I don't have to give in and submit myself and subject myself to ungodly works, to ungodly things. The Bible says that resist the devil. I got to resist that. I got to resist sin. I got to resist the things of the world. It don't say go into it. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. I have to resist this thing. How? With the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, I'm doing it. I was going to do this another way, but God is leading me a whole different way. How do we protect our members? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, it lets us, the word of God lets us know that we have weapons. But these weapons that we have are, can only be used through the unction of the Holy Ghost and should be executed through the unction of the Holy Ghost. It can only be executed the right way through the unction of the Holy Ghost, the correct way. Now, I hear people say, well, I pray, I read my Bible at home, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Excuse me. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that either. That's actually part of your weapons. But you have to have the Holy Ghost to be able to resist temptation. There are things. Now, my pastor Tuggle, he says it all the time. You can listen to a gospel song, but a gospel song cannot save you. It's not going. It can help you. It can encourage you. It can inspire you. It can uplift you, but it cannot save you. Now, if we look at the church, and I'm talking to the church right now, when we look at the outline or the outlook of the church today from the old school church, do you not understand that the old school church has more power than what we had, than what we have now? You know why? Because the old school church stayed on their knees. The old school church, they were in church. And I'm not just talking about the building. I'm talking about they were in the presence of God most of the time. They didn't play patty cake with the devil. They was in it. They was all in. And they had more power because they went to God before anything else. They fasted, they prayed, they stayed in the will of God. And I hear a lot of preachers of today say, it don't take all that. No, you're wrong. It takes all of that and more because of the day and age that we live in today. Now, how do we protect ourselves? Well, as I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to read that. I said that we have weapons in the spirit. Now, this is what the Bible says about our weapons in the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that mean? They're not earthly. That's why I said you cannot use a natural thing to fight against spiritual battles. You can't use drugs or alcohol to get over depression. This is what the Lord is trying to show us. You can't use worldly things to try to get over the problems of your life because it's not going to work. Only thing it's going to do is get you deeper in the mess. This is why the Bible lets us know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are the weapons of carnality? The weapons of carnality is when you're going through depression, you sit over there and you drink. That's a weapon of carnality. That's considered a weapon of carnality. You're trying to use something. you're trying to use something to say, well, I need something to ease my mind. I need something to ease my pain. I need a man or a woman to come and ease my pain. No. That's the weapon of carnality. Those are weapons of carnal mindset. But the Bible lets us know that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. These weapons are mighty through God. Why are they mighty through God? Because they came from the Lord. And he's mighty. He's mighty. So what are we saying? We're saying that, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? Those things that we deal with on a consistent basis, the problems of life, the depression, the oppression. Some people are oppressed. And I'm not just talking about dealing with addictions. They just oppress and depress about life. But these weapons, these spiritual weapons that God has given us, with the power of the Holy Ghost, can help us when we use these weapons. It says to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. What is the imagination? Casting down imaginations. What is the casting down imaginations? The mindset of, I think this drink will help me. This drink, this alcohol is going to help me ease my mind. No, that's an imagination that needs to be cast down. This weed is going to help me. This drug is going to help me ease me down, you know, calm me down. No. The only thing that it's going to do, light and darkness have no fellowship. Only thing it's going to do is going to ease you away more from God. That's what it's going to do, because light and darkness have no fellowship. Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. God and the devil cannot dwell in you. He does not like, just like you don't like an unclean natural house, God does not like an unclean spiritual house. God wants to dwell in us, but if your house ain't in order, if your life is not in line with God, God will not dwell there. He does not dwell in an unclean place. Your body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Casting down imagination in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does this mean? We're breaking it down today. Every high thing that exalts itself against God. God, now, watch this. Why does it say this? Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Who was the first person that tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God? The devil. The devil. The devil tried to exalt himself against God. He wanted to be above God. He wanted to be above his creator. He wanted everybody to acknowledge him. That's why one-third of the angels got kicked out, because those one-third of those angels were acknowledging Lucifer. And along with Lucifer, one-third of the angels got kicked out of heaven. What tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God? The spirits that try to come into our life, that go, the unclean spirits, the demonic spirits that try to come into our life, try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? Holiness. righteousness. His knowledge, the knowledge of God, is for you to live a pure and clean and holy life. That's his knowledge for you. That's what he wants you to do. That is what he wants you to understand. He said, in his words, he said, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. That's the knowledge of God, the peace. The peace of God, well, that's the knowledge of God. He wants you to understand him. He wants you in him and him in you. That is his knowledge. That's part of his knowledge. That's the part of the knowledge of God. That's what it is. But the devil has tried to exalt himself above the knowledge of God, above what he wants. That's why he tries to keep you in captivity. That's why I said the devil wants you to be ignorant spiritually. He wants you to be spiritually ignorant of his devices. But guess what? In the knowledge of God, God not just telling you about what he wants to do for you, but he's also revealed to us in John chapter 10, verse 10, as we quoted earlier, he is not only exposed what he wants to do in your life, what God wants to do in your life, but he also has exposed what the devil wants to do in your life. Because when you are living the life the way the enemy would have you to live, you're not exalting yourself. You're lowering yourself. You might think that you're on top of the mountain. You see some folks that gotta, and there's nothing wrong with money. I'm not saying that money is wrong. But you see an unsaved individual living it up, partying it up. They got the nice car, the nice house, and you living holy, and you like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, they got it. They got it made. It looked like they got it made in the shade over there. But I'm over here struggling. But guess what? Really, you got it made in the shade because you know what? You living holy. You got the Holy Ghost. You got something that money can't buy. Just because it looked like they happy and living it up don't mean that they are. Because I done seen some people with some money that are living like they got so much blues. They depressed. The sin that they're in brings them shame. They got their head. They might have their head up in the public, but down. But when they're behind closed doors, they got their head down. They crying. I done seen it. I done heard about it. The Lord has allowed me to use different people in Hollywood to give examples. Robin Williams, Michael Jackson, people like that. Robin Williams, and I like using Robin Williams because growing up, I would watch a movie or a TV show with Robin Williams in it, and I would be like dying laughing. And you would think a person that has that much comedic experience and could make a person laugh like that would be happy, would be so filled up with happiness and joy and always happy. It don't always seem that way. This man took his life because of depression, because of oppression, because they allow the enemy to take over their life. This is why I said money cannot buy everything. The cars and all of that, all the prosperity, the way the world sees prosperity, it won't buy you the joy that God brings. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, not the joy of the world. But the joy of the Lord, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Why? Because I got the joy on the inside. I got Jesus on the inside of me. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why is the greater on the inside of me and not in the world? Because what the world sees as great is not really great. It's a fake image. That's why, let me tell y'all something. I don't have a college degree. I don't. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting your education. I'm not against education. Not against it. But I do not have a natural college degree. But I got a degree. I got a degree in theology. You might say, a degree in theology? What are you talking about, a degree in theology? I'm down on my knees talking to the Lord. I'm supping with him. You know, I got a degree in theology. That degree has taken me to higher heights and deeper depths in him. It has allowed me being in God, me reading the word of God, me staying in the word of God, me understanding the word of God through the help of the Holy Ghost, me being on my knees, praying, talking, being in communication with God has taken me to higher heights and deeper depths in him and I'm talking from experience, the Lord has given me things because I chose to seek his face. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? That means when I seek his face, when I stay in his presence, when I have him in my life, when I have him on the inside, I get the things of, I'll have what I need. Why? Because I'm serving him. I'm doing things for him. And I'm not doing it to receive the things, but I'm doing it because I love him. I'm doing it because he's worthy of me doing what I'm doing for him. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of me being on my knees. He's worthy of me communicating with him in prayer. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of me taking time out of my schedule just to understand the knowledge of God. He's worthy of that because he's done so much for me. If he never does another thing for me, just me waking up in the morning is enough. Just by me waking up in the morning, just by him putting the breath of life on the inside of me, just by me having the activities of each and every one of my limbs is enough for me to be able to dance before the Lord, be able to praise God, be able to worship him in spirit and in truth, as the Bible says. Being able, come on here, y'all don't understand. There's a reason why God wants us where he wants us. There's a reason why we must protect ourselves. God is trying to build, he has a place set for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where you are, you, where I am, you may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You will not, I told somebody one time, if you can't go to church, you can't go to heaven. If you don't like going to church, you don't like going to heaven. Because I heard somebody say one time, well, church is too long. Church is too noisy. Well, you don't want to go to heaven then, because heaven is loud. Heaven is loud. And hell is hot. I heard somebody talk about the song that Prince wrote. I'm going to, and I guess there was a verse in one of his songs where he said, when I get to hell, I'm going to party like it's 1999. Ain't going to be no party in hell. There will be no partying in hell. The Bible declares that in hell there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going to be in hell. And I see in the book of Revelation, it said, I saw the dead, small and great. That's why heaven is prepared for prepared people. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. John was talking about the white throne of judgment. The people that stand at the white throne of judgment did not. These are the people. John was talking about those people that did not receive God when they had a chance. God gave them every opportunity to receive him, but they did not want to. And God has not forced himself upon nobody. Amen? He does not force himself upon nobody. He don't. Let me show y'all something. Protecting our members, in protecting our eye gate, in protecting our ear gate, in protecting ourselves, in that we must understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He gave us spiritual weapons. Why do we have these spiritual weapons? Is the next question. Why do we have these spiritual weapons? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to show you why we have these spiritual weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 12. I'm just going to read this verse and then I'm going to, I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. And this will break down everything that I'm about to, what everything I'm about to say right now. Starting at verse, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, there you go, we see the power not of the world's might, but of his might. But how do we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Now he's about to show us. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. Verse number 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This battle is not a natural battle. This battle is not against my brother and my sister. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness. What is the spiritual wickedness? That is the unclean spirits, the demonic spirits that try to come up against us. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, watch this. It says, in verse 13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? The day that we're living in now. Those times and moments that those problems and those temptations come. That's the evil day. The devil does not stop trying to get you until the day that you leave this earth. He is after your soul every day that you live. That's the evil day. Amen. And having done all to stand, verse 14 says, stand therefore. How do we stand? having your loins girded about with truth. When you explain having your loins girded about with truth, having Jesus girded about you. Because we said he's truth, right? He's the truth. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. There you go. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Why do we have to have on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, because we don't want nothing penetrating our heart. We don't want the devil's devices to penetrate our heart. Because whatever is in the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever's in your heart, it starts with the mind, but whatever trickles down from your mind in your heart, that's what you're going to live out. The Bible says, whatever a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever's in your mind is going to penetrate to your heart, and that's what you're going to live out. This is why we have to have the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why should we have our feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace? The Bible says that it'll keep your mind in perfect peace of mind and stayed upon me. It all starts with the mind. Whatever's in your mind is going to penetrate to your heart. That's why we have the breastplate of righteousness. Having our feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Say the enemy tries to tell you, oh, you need to go to that party tonight. It's Saturday night. You need to go party it up. And you know full well that ain't the place where you need to be at. You know full well God has told you not to go to that place. You need to have your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To tell your feet, I ain't going there. You need to have your feet. You need to pray. Oh, come on here. Come on. Have your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Having your feet in the gospel. Making sure you tell your feet where to go. Basically saying, wherever your feet may tread, that you are underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost, wherever your feet may tread. Wherever God says go, you go. That's what that means. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? To block the fiery darts that come up against you. That shield of faith. You're shielded. That belief in God that you're protected. In Psalms 91, it says, it talks about being under his shadow, having that shield of faith, believing that God is going to protect you. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. He gave you a shield of faith to be able to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't please him without faith. You can't please God without the shield of faith that protects you. You can please him with the shield of faith because all the fiery darts of the enemy is not penetrating your mind, your heart, your feet. What, your whole body is protected. Come on here. We breaking it down today. Amen. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The demonic spirits, the unclean spirits, the temptations, the devil, your flesh, that is the fiery darts of the wicked. When your friend tells you to go, When your friend asks you to go to this party, come on here. And you don't need to go. When your friend asks you to go over here, your buddy, buddy, that man asked you, we about to expose the enemy. When that man wants you to sleep with you, you come. If you really love me, you'll have sex with me. If you really love me, if you really love me, you'll do this for me. That woman trying to whisper sweet nothings in that man's ear. Come on here. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. Having the mind of Christ. That's the helmet of salvation. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why we said earlier, you cannot just use a song to fight off the enemy. You have to use the word of God. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Study what? Study the word of God to show yourself approved for what? Approved for the battle. You have the devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He tempted him three times. He tried to tempt him three times, and all three times God used his own word against the enemy. Even when the devil tried to use God's own word against him. The devil knows the word. He knows. That's why we have to read the word to be able to fight against the enemy. The devil knows the word. The devil knows how powerful the word of God is. That's why when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. You use the word. Get thee behind me, Satan. When the devil tells you, I'm just using this as an example, but say you fasted, and the enemy says, you know you need to eat, you know you're going to, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I ain't going to die. The Bible says I shall live and not die. You better use that word on it, and not only use it, but you better use it with authority. You better use that word with authority. Use it. Use that word with authority. Take your rightful place in God and use that word with authority. Amen? Now, there are weapons that we have on top of the whole armor of God. We have secret weapons. We have faith. We have prayer and fasting. We have praise. We have worship. We have the word of God. We have giving. Amen. Now, I'm going to read you a scripture about faith. This is one of the weapons. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And it reads, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. This is what we need to do. This is one of the weapons. That's why it says without faith it's impossible to please him. Amen. When you come to God, you must first believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is faith. This is one of the weapons. When you have faith and you seek him,
You're seeking him in faith. He's a rewarder. That's one of the weapons. That's how we win. Having faith. We just read it. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's not going to pass out no bad rewards for seeking him. He's going to make sure that you're good. That's why we win when we have faith. That's why we say faith is one of our weapons. Prayer and fasting. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. We're trying to break this down little by little. We're going to break this down, y'all, just to expose the enemy. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Amen. And it reads, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Whatever you need in your life, whatever you need God to take out of your life that is not of God, prayer and fasting will do it. That's why this verse lets us know that. This verse lets us know that with prayer and fasting, howbeit, I'm going to read it again, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, which means without prayer and fasting, these spirits are not going to be brought up under captivity spiritually. The ungodly spirits that try to come up against you won't be taken over by the power of God without prayer and fasting. Amen. That's what that means. Now, you might say, "Well, Minister Adam, what other weapons do I have?" Next one is praise. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." How does this become a weapon? How does this protect us? Praise, when you are going through, praise confuses the enemy. When you're dealing with issues, when you're dealing with temptation, praise can be a weapon because it confuses the enemy. This is why this is a weapon. It puts the enemy on notice. It lets the enemy know that you are more focused on God than the problem. It also helps activate your faith because the songwriter says, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I praise God for saving me." What does that mean? When you think of his goodness, it allows you to think about what God has done for you, and it rejuvenates your faith. When I start thinking about what God has brought me from, it rejuvenates my, and I'm going through something, I'm praising God for what he brought me out of. I'm thinking back on what he brought me out of, which is rejuvenating my faith because it's letting me know, hey, if God brought me out of that situation, he can bring me out of this. And it protects my faith. It protects me. Praise can be a protection. It's a weapon of protection. Amen? The next one is worship. I love this. Worship. Worship is a weapon of intimacy with God. I'm going to say it again. Worship is a weapon of intimacy with God. Uh-oh. You might say, "Well, how is worship a weapon of intimacy with God?" Because you're drawing closer to God when you worship. How am I drawing closer to God when I worship? Because a man or a woman cannot worship God without having his spirit. You can't do it. How do we know? John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to have his spirit, and you got to have the truth. We know that the truth of God is God himself, and we know that his spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, is him too. You got to have him on the inside of you to be able to worship him. You gotta have him on the inside of you to be able to truly worship him, because the Bible declares that he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You gotta have both. You gotta have the spirit and you gotta have truth. What is the truth? Salvation. What is salvation? Holiness. Holiness. You gotta be holy when you worship. You can't just come. You just can't come any kind of way. You just can't bring anything in the presence of God any kind of way. You just can't come. It's just like the high priest when they used to make sacrifices for the people for the nation. They used to go into the holies of holies. And what used to happen was they used to tie a rope around the high priest because everybody couldn't go into the holies of holies. And if the high priest was not right, if you went into the holies of holies back then and you wasn't right, you would drop dead. Because God ain't just accepting just anything in his presence. And they would tie a rope around the high priest because they knew if the high priest was to go down, they would pull that rope and pull him out because they couldn't go in and get him out. So they would tie a rope around him and pull him out. But that's why I say worship is a powerful weapon. Amen? This is what it is. This is what it is today. The next one is the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Why is the Word of God a powerful weapon in protecting our members? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Why do we need to study the word of God? Why is the word of God a powerful weapon? Well, the Word of God is a powerful weapon because Jesus used it in the wilderness when he was tempted. Like I said before, the devil knows the Word of God, and he knows how powerful the Word of God is. But we have to study the Word of God to be able to understand how to use the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved for the battle. We have to show ourselves approved unto God for the battle. That's number one. And a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, what does that mean? Understanding the Word of God. Understanding the knowledge of God, understanding the statutes of God, knowing how powerful the Word of God is. Because the devil knows how powerful the Word of God is. That's why he wants to leave you ignorant. That's why the devil wants you ignorant. spiritually. So you won't, he don't want you studying the Bible. He does not want you studying the Bible at all. And this becomes a powerful weapon to us. Amen? It becomes a powerful weapon. Now, giving. Now, this might be a hard topic. This might be a hard weapon to understand, but it is a weapon nonetheless. Giving. And I'm not just talking about giving of your time and giving of your time, which is a weapon, because the more giving of your time to God is you're drawing closer to God. When you give of yourself, when you take time out to give to God, you're drawing closer to the Lord. Amen. But this certain weapon is not really looked at as a weapon, but it is. Giving of your household, giving of your finances. You might say, well, how is giving of my finances a weapon? That's not a weapon. The Bible don't say that. Oh, yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And you might say, well, that's in the Old Testament. I already know what you're about to say. You got to pay your tithes and all this. Yeah, pay your tithes. Give in your offerings. The Bible says, the Bible in Malachi chapter 3, verses starting at verse number 8, and I'm going to read it. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Verse number 9 says, and ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not. Uh-oh, here we go. Here goes the uses of tithes, where the blessings come in at. That I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will, this is another part of that blessing. He's opened up the windows of heaven, pouring out blessings. But this is the bigger blessing right here. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And ye shall not he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. This is where giving is a weapon. This is where giving is a weapon. Now, you might say, well, Minister Adam, there's a whole lot of preachers talking about giving tithes and offering. How in the world is that helping me? Because if you don't obey God, and he said give unto him, he's saying give unto him his the tithes and the offering. And if you don't, you're robbing him, and you're cursed with a curse. Trust me and believe, I've been there, done that. And I'm talking about myself. I have literally been at a point where I had, and I'm talking about myself now. I ain't talking about nobody else. See, I can put myself on blast. I have been in a time in my life where I lost my mind spiritually. Why I spiritually lost my mind and forgot where God brought me from. And I chose to do it my way. When I say that, I chose to do it my way. And do you not know when I stopped paying my tithes, all hell broke loose. Money was going left. Money was just leaving. Things was happening. But when I got my mind back together and I said, God, I'm going to pay you. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to do none of that. And I started paying my tithes. Do you not know God started blessing? And it ain't just a blessing of money. He'll restore your health. That's where you can look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He'll pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. It ain't just money. It's to save that loved one. All because of your sacrifice. You got a bill. I've had a whole bill, and I had to choose whether to pay my tithes or pay that bill. And guess what? I chose to pay my tithes. And guess what? When I went, I remember one time the Lord, I do believe the Lord was allowing me to be tested. He allowed that test to come to see what I would do. I remember one time I had a light bill. And it was high. And I had the money to pay it. But the money that I had to pay the light bill was reflected in my tithes. So I had to choose whether to pay my tithes or pay my light bill. And you might say, well, can't you call and make arrangements? Yeah, I tried to call and make arrangements. But guess what? The arrangements didn't go through, so I had to make a choice whether to pay my tithes or pay that light bill. And it was a light bill. The light bill is I chose to pay my tithes. And after I paid my tithes, I was left with a little bit of money. And I said, Lord, I'm still going to go down there, and I'm going to put the rest of this little bit of money on this bill, what I got left. Do you not know when I got to that light company, I was talking to the lady, and the lady said, sir, she said, sir, how much you say your light bill was? And I told her the amount, and it was a pretty good penny. It was over $100 at that time. Because I had some financial issues that was going on. It ain't expedient for me to get into that, but I had some financial issues going on, and the bill was high. And they said, sir, what you say your bill was? And it was over $100. And I told them, and they was like, sir, I don't know where. And I showed them the light bill of the amount. She said, sir, we looked at your account, and your account is not matching this bill. I said, well, where is it at? What's the amount? I said, is it higher? Is it lower? They said, yeah, it's lower. I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, how much do I got to pay? Nothing. You ain't got to pay nothing. Excuse me? What'd you say? You're at a... The payment is a zero balance, but also you have a credit on your account. The money that I was supposed to owe, I got credited for. The same amount that was of my bill was credited to my account. I did not have to pay my light bill for the next two to three months. And I was able, not only that, but fast forward the next week, I got a check in the mail. Got a check in the mail. You can't tell me that paying tithes ain't a weapon. Giving of yourself ain't a weapon. Giving of your time ain't a weapon. Giving of your offering ain't a weapon. My father, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to quit. My father was at his job, and he worked for the United States Postal Service for 35 years. And he was, one time he was pending termination on his job. And it wasn't nothing that he did. Just the people on his job at that time didn't like him. And he had a lie told on him. And he was pending termination. And one time in the service, my former pastor said, give the biggest bill you got in your purse and in your wallet. My dad said he had a $100 bill and a couple of ones. And he was looking, he was like, well, how am I going to feed my family? He had a family of a wife and five children. And he had a little job waiting on him to waiting on his decision to see if he was going to get his job back at the post office. But he had a little part-time job making way less. But he gave that $100. Not only did we have food, not only did we have a roof over our head in that time, but that next week, I think about 2 weeks later, he got his job back. All because he gave. All because he listened to the voice of the Lord. Giving can be a weapon, but it's all up to you. In these last few minutes that I have, I'm going to say this. If we choose to put our life in him, he will protect us. Psalms 91 verses 1 through 7 tells us that. It all leads back unto salvation. We must receive the Spirit of God on the inside of us. If we do not have his Spirit, we are none of his. It all goes back to Acts 2 and 38. And then Acts 1 and 8. To be able to protect our members. To be able to have the power to protect our members. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to denounce sin. Power to denounce the enemy. Power to denounce our flesh. That's what it is. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, and then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise of the Holy Ghost, this promise of salvation, will help you protect your members, will help protect you in times of need, will help you, give you the go-ahead to continue on in the faith, will help you fight against the enemy, will bring the word of God back to your remembrance. As we read in John chapter 14, verse 26, where he said, I'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Every word that I said in the word of God, everything that you have studied about me, I'll bring it back to your remembrance. I'll bring them scriptures back to your remembrance to help you fight against the temptation that's coming against you. This is what the Holy Ghost is there for. It's a protector. 2 and 38 tells us how to receive it. That's why I said protecting your members goes back to salvation.
And salvation is in Acts 2 and 38. It's not in cars, it's not in clothes, it's not in money, it's not in none of that. It is in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 tells us in that scripture, where in those verses, Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Because if you don't have the water and the Spirit, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. You won't be able to see the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 lets us know that without his Spirit, we are none of his. Yes, you might know of Jesus, but until you get him on the inside of you, you do not know him. You truly don't know him. You know of him. You know what he can do. But until you've known him in the pardon of your sins, do you truly know how good he is? The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." When you come unto this great salvation, you're telling God, "I trust you. I'm giving you my life, and I'm trusting you with my life. I'm trusting. I'm putting my life in your hands, and I'm trusting you." When you come unto salvation, you're telling God, "I trust you that you're going to lead me and direct me." Romans chapter 12, verse 1 lets us know that. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." There is only one way to make it to heaven, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is symbolic repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost is symbolic of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is the only way to make it. Acts 2 and 38 is the only way to make it and for you to live a holy and saved life in Jesus' name. God bless you. I hope you are blessed today. On behalf of the Spirit Alive Network, on behalf of Blog Talk Radio, we say, it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, since we're on the radio, I'm editing a little bit. If you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. In Jesus' name, God bless you.